Well, good morning, Covenant Grove. You know what? I think you should get extra points for being here at the 8 o'clock service. Am I right? All right. We got some food out there. Eat all the good food so 9:30 to 11 don't get it. All right. For a good movie to take place, you need two things, in my opinion. Good guy, bad guy. So we're going to start off Easter service. This is not going to feel very spiritual to you, but it will. I'll get there. Promise you. We're going to start off with a game called Good Guy, Bad Guy. I'm going to show you a good guy on the screen. You tell me the bad guy. We're going to start real easy. Here we go. Luke Skywalker. Darth Vader. Hey, you're playing along. Wow, early, and you're doing it. Okay, let's see if you can get this next one for older people, maybe. Okay, here we go. Ah, we got it, Bruce Willis. It's Die Hard. It's Hans Gruber. That's right. There he is. Where's Hans? Yeah, oh, he's just so evil. But I saw him in other movies where he's the romantic lead, so I can't figure it out. Okay, next one. The 101 Dalmatians. That's right, Cruella, you got it. Okay, here we go, next one. Mufasa. Scar. Good job, guys. Okay, next one. Harry Potter. Voldemort. He who shall not be named. Is that, thank you for showing us that you're just a huge Harry Potter geek, Rachel. I appreciate that. Now we know. Okay, next one. Dora the Explorer. Swiper the Fox. And if he starts to swipe, what do you say? Yes. Welcome to church, people. Okay, there we go. Jerry Seinfeld. Newman! Newman right there. There he is. Okay, let's see. I'm not sure how many more I have left. Okay. Do you know Marty McFly? Biff. Yeah, where's Biff? Oh, God, he's so mean. Okay, is that no? Oh, no, I definitely have one more for sure. Oh. Ursula. That's good. The Little Mermaid, Ursula. Okay, keep going. Okay, this is now. Okay, this is Toy Story 3. Toy Story 3, Woody and Buzz. It's, here we go. That's Lotso Huggin' Bear. Just want you to know, I was at Disneyland with my daughter and he was on sale because he's the evil character. So I bought him for my daughter. And he smells like strawberries. Okay. There we go, Mario. There we go. Is that Bowser? Yes, Bowser. Okay, yeah. Okay, okay, here we go. The Avengers. That's right. Thanos. Do you remember Thanos? He snapped his finger and half the world disappeared. Okay, quick story. My wife hates airports, and we were in Boston, and there was so much traffic on a Friday night. And we're looking at our GPS, and it's just getting later and later and later. And my wife says this to me. Thanos was right. Okay, so no, I just equivalated my wife and Thanos on Easter. Do you think I'm in trouble? I mean, do you think I'm in trouble? Okay, so here's the crazy thing about all of these characters. Villains have become, in some ways, more popular than the actual heroes. And for every villain I showed you, I could show you somebody who has that tattooed on their body. I have some of these, actually. Here, check it out. Somebody, there's an Ursula. Okay, next one. Okay, there's Lotso Huggin' Bear. Okay, there we go. Look, somebody tattooed Biff on them. And this last one, I can't believe it. There's Newman. The mail never stops. Crazy, right? Okay, I got one more. We're going to play one more. Okay, the hero. Jesus. That's my favorite picture of Jesus. That's what we call surfer Jesus. All right. Well, if he's the hero, who's the villain? Well, let's go Judas. Now, this is Easter Sunday. This is the Sunday we celebrate Jesus coming out of the grave. And when he comes out of the grave, he brings forgiveness of sin. So this morning we're going to go 2 days. 3 days before that, when one of Jesus' very closest friends in the top 12, sold him out for just some change. What would it take for somebody to do that? This morning we're going to look at what got Judas to that place, right? We're going to look at what was Judas' big problem. Actually, we're really going to look at what was Judas' biggest sin. And why are we going to do that? Well, I hate to tell you this, but we may have more similarities with Judas than we think. And there are some things that we need to avoid if we're really going to celebrate this Easter. So we're going to go back from the beginning. We're going to look at Judas and Judas' life. And we're going to start in Mark chapter 3. We're just going to do a quick tour of Judas' life starting in Mark chapter 3. And it goes like this. Afterward, Jesus went up to the mountain and he called out the ones who wanted to go with him. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him and would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. These are the 12 he chose: Simon, who he named Peter, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder, Andrew, Peter, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Okay, first thing you notice about Jesus. Jesus is a nickname guy. Anybody a nickname person? Okay, so none of my children are called by their given names. My son is Gritta, and then we have Rue, and then we have Ye, and then we have Thief. I almost never call my wife Jelaine. She is the little peanut. Anybody like that? That's what Jesus was like. Hey, man, Simon. You're not Simon anymore, man. You're gonna be the Rock before Dwayne Johnson. You're the Rock. You're the original Rock. You guys are the sons of thunder. And what does it say about Judas? It says Judas, who would later betray him. Now, I want you to understand that these words were written after the events, so they only knew it. But in this moment, Judas is just one of the guys. In fact, Judas, the word Judas, means praised one. It reminds me of a lot of parents and a lot of grandparents out there, because you are looking for reasons to brag about your kids, right? Hey, my kid made the honor roll. My kid scored a goal. My grandbaby was born. My grandbaby is the most beautiful baby in the world. Does that sound like anybody that you know? And here I have proof. Picture. There she is. She is the most beautiful baby in the world, right? Praised one. That's a great name. In fact, there are a lot of people in the Bible named Judas. Did you know that Jesus has a brother who is named Judas? Now, the name Iscariot refers to this place called Kerioth, which Judas came from. And there are some scholars that believe that Judas was a Sicarii. Now, a Sicarii is somebody that used to kill Romans and tax collectors with this curved knife. And it's based, the game Assassin's Creed is based on the Sicarii. Now, I don't believe that about Judas, but I thought it was really cool. So I wanted to bring it up, and it is possible. Now, there's a line that maybe you'd never even thought of before. It's in verse 12, and it says this. Jesus went up on a mountainside, and he called to him those he wanted. Judas was one of those. There are thousands of people that follow Jesus. Only 12 were included in the original group, that small group. Judas was somebody that Jesus wanted. Okay, we're going to skip forward a little bit. Jesus tells a parable called the sower, and nobody could understand it. And so the disciples came to him, and they said, later when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders. Judas was an insider. Have you ever been an insider? I have a friend who was a coach for the New York football Giants. He was a strength coach. And so I called him up for my birthday. I said, hey, can me, my son-in-law come out to visit you and go to a Giants game? He said, absolutely. We showed up on a Friday night and he took us to Giants Stadium and he took us everywhere. Weight room, locker room. We went to the kitchen of the New York football Giants and we looked through this refrigerator and there was this protein shake, about that big, that said Eli Manning on it. So I said, what's that? It was, it's Eli Manning's protein shake. I guess he didn't drink it today. So I said, can I drink Eli Manning's protein shake? He said, absolutely. So I drank Eli Manning's protein shake. I felt mopey all day. You know Eli. To be an insider, it's just this amazing. That's what Judas had. He was on the inside of this team. Now, Mark chapter 6, let's keep going about Judas's life. He called his 12 disciples together, began sending them out two by two, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits. So the disciples went out, telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And they cast out many demons, and they healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Judas was given authority by Jesus to preach the gospel, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick. And there's nothing in the Bible that says, Judas healed, but, he charged for it. There's none of that. In fact, our Bible, there's nothing written down about John the Baptist healing anybody. But there is about Judas. But clearly he wasn't perfect. When Mary poured the perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped it up with her hair, he didn't like that very much. In John chapter 12, verse 4, it says this, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Now we start to see his character weakening, right? He had a love for money. His love for money was more important than his love for people. Now, I don't know what he stole the money for, but I have an idea, and this is just my idea. Judas, along with the other disciples, gave up their life completely for 3 years. And I think every once in a while, Judas stole some money so he could go out to eat or get something to drink and just get a little bit of his life back. Now, that might be wrong. Maybe Judas used the money to buy crack and sell it to kindergartners. I don't know. But clearly, his issue is money, right? He's got a problem with money. Now, the perfume incident really bothered him, and so we find this in Mark chapter 14, verse 10. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priest to arrange to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted when they heard why he had come, and they promised to give him money, so he began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. If we're looking for Judas's worst sin, here's the leader in the clubhouse, right? Taking money to sell out his best friend. So then they're in the garden and this happens. Immediately, even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests, the teachers of the religious law, and the elders. The traitor, Judas, had been given a prearranged signal. You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Then you will take him under guard. As soon as they arrived, Judas walked up to Jesus. Rabbi, he exclaimed, and he gave him the kiss. Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. From that moment on, the name Judas has been synonymous with treachery. It has been portrayed in every kind of artwork. Judas' kiss is famous in the art community. And painting after painting after painting, extent of this moment. The book Dante's Inferno. Did anybody have to read that in high school? I had to read it in high school. And it gives levels to hell. We don't know. That's not in the Bible. But it gives levels to hell. And where is it? Who's at the bottom? Judas. He's there with Hitler and that guy who invented the automated phone machine that telemarketers use. They're right there. Listen, no one names their kid Judas anymore because he was so infamous for this. He was out for the money. Now, maybe you're listening going, I'd never do that. Well, is it possible that you prioritize money over relationship? Is it possible? Is it possible you've ever said something like this? Well, I know I'm working long hours, but it's for my family. Is it for your family? Have you ever had something that you spent money on that you really liked? A car, a piece of furniture, a carpet. And there was a time when you valued the thing more than a person who spilled it or scratched it or dented it. Now, that's not selling Jesus for 30 pieces. You know, it's not murder. But is it possible we have more similarities with Judas than we think? It's possible. Well, at this point, that is his biggest sin. It's the leader in the clubhouse. But let me give you one more nomination. And let me tell you this too. You know, at that Last Supper, you know what Jesus said to all of his friends? In a few minutes, everybody's going to betray me, even you guys. Everyone. In fact, you, Peter, you're going to do it three times. Judas was already gone, and within minutes of Jesus being taken, everyone fled. Nobody, all of his friends, his very best friends, and Peter, indeed, three times denied Jesus, right? So Judas wasn't alone in it. So was Judas' biggest sin that he sold Jesus for money? I don't think so. I'm going to give you one more nomination. Matthew 27, with Judas, who had betrayed him, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die. He was filled with remorse. So he took the 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and the elders. I have sinned, he declared, for I have betrayed an innocent man. What do we care, they retorted. That's your problem. Then Jesus threw the silver coins down in the temple, and he went out, and he hanged himself. I don't think Judas' biggest sin was betraying Jesus. I think Judas' biggest sin, his biggest mistake, was not realizing what Jesus was all about. You can put what Jesus is all about in three words, and he said it over and over and over, and it's this: I forgive you. A man who couldn't walk was placed before Jesus. And Jesus could have said anything. You know, he could have said, out, evil spirit, or I heal you. He didn't. He said, I forgive you. And when Mary came and she poured the perfume on his feet, when she was done with that, he didn't say, thank you. He said, your sins are forgiven. Jesus tells a story about this young son who's took all of dad's money and he went and he blew it on, you know, video games and Chuck E. Cheese and steakhouses and blew it all. And he came back. And what's the father's response? I forgive you. Jesus is in the upper room and he is hours from his death. And they break the bread and the cup. And he says, this is for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus is on the cross. He'd just been beaten. He had just been mocked. Crown of thorns put on his head. At his worst. And there's a guy on a cross right next to him. And let me tell you something. Jesus didn't deserve it. He did. 100%. Deserved to be on that cross. He forgave that guy on that cross. And then, with one of the very last things he says to the people who are currently murdering him, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Judas' sin, biggest sin, his biggest mistake wasn't his betrayal. His biggest mistake was he didn't get through Saturday. Because if he got through Saturday, he would have seen Jesus. And Jesus would have taken him in his arms. And he would have showed the hands and feet. And he would have forgiven him like he forgave all the other disciples. Like he forgave Peter. And this whole story of how Jesus forgave Peter as they were fishing. He says, love my sheep. And in that moment, he wraps his arms around Peter. He says, I forgive you. So what does it have to do with you and me? Well, Judas was so distraught for the thing that he did. Sometimes we make this relationship with God about the things that we do. Are we doing enough good things? Are we walking enough old ladies across the street? Are we nice enough to people? How often do we sin? Do we sin more or do we sin less? You missed it. The point of Jesus coming to this planet is not so that he can make you a do-gooder. The point of Jesus coming to this planet is that he can look you in the eye and say, I forgive you. For that abortion that you still feel guilty about, I forgive you. For that addiction that you still struggle with, when you come to me, I forgive you. For the anger that has caused so many hurtful words to come out of your mouth, I forgive you. The only thing that is unforgivable is not coming to Jesus for forgiveness. And that's it. I got one goal for you today. One goal. And this is it. I want you to walk out those doors forgiven. Would you do me a favor? Would you bow your heads? I want you to think of that thing. You have that thing that pursues you. Maybe it's in your past. Maybe it was yesterday. That thing that you just go, man, God, I keep making this mistake. Don't make the mistake Judas made by holding it in, thinking it's too much. Bring it before Jesus. Say, Jesus, forgive me. You can even say this, Jesus, give me the power to not do this again. Or Jesus, help me to order my life so that I don't keep following this sin, because that's what he wants. He wants us to live life to the fullest. And this thing that you keep doing is hurting you, and he doesn't want that in your life. Say, God, forgive me. And when you do that, you will be forgiven. Now, if this is the very first time you're hearing about this, or you've only heard about a God that just wants you to have a to-do list of right and wrong, but today you realize that this God wants to forgive you and be in relationship with you, then I want you to pray this. Dear God, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of those things I wish I'd never done. God, my heart hurts for those things. I want to put you in charge of my life. I give my life to you. If you prayed that, you become new. And you are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he hide your sin from you. Now, if you made that decision, why don't you just look up? I have this card. It's in the front, right in front of your pocket, in front of your chair. It says, you said yes. Take your name on it and just slide it. There's a box that has this little insignia on it. Just put it in there. We want to know about it. We want you to give you the help that you need. We want you to realize just how forgiven you are. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. We love you, Lord God. Forgive me. And thank you for doing everything that you could to buy that forgiveness on that cross. In your name we pray. Amen.